This morning, let's turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and beginning in verse 26, let's hear the word of God. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Now, Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing this morning as we are privileged once again to open your word. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll illuminate the scriptures to us, that our hearts and our minds will be open to receive it. And I thank you for it. Amen. We got to talk a little bit last week about our creation of man, and the perfect environment, the perfect circumstances of that creation. We were reminded that not only was Adam created into a perfect world, but he enjoyed a perfect relationship with God. He worshiped God perfectly. And he enjoyed God perfectly. And Adam was holy. And yet, for whatever reason, he chose to disobey God's law. Remember, at that time, there was only one law. One little thing he had to just refrain from. And he couldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. He ate what was forbidden to him. And we remember that God's judgment upon Adam was swift. That immediately upon the commission of this sin, his communion with God was severed. It just was not the same anymore. Eventually, Adam experienced a physical death, yet even for Adam, or in our time, it seemed like Adam lived a long life. Adam was well over 900 years old at his passing. I don't know, in our modern times, I just don't know that there's that many people that want to live 900 years. You know? But you have to admit, it would be interesting if we look backward 900 years, and how were people living then, and how are they living now? And imagine that all taking place in your lifetime. You know, pretty wild. Adam never got to ride a motorcycle. That came sometime later. He ruined a good thing. His relationship with God was not what it was. His communion was severed. Something had to be done to repair that relationship. If man were to ever again have the possibility of having a favorable relationship with Almighty God, a Savior, a Redeemer, would be required. Who could save us? People are proud. And we tend to think highly of ourselves. And we say, do we really need someone else to make it right for us? After all, we understand that if we offend someone, If we are guilty of offending, it's also our obligation to make it right, to patch things up. It's not the obligation on of the one who has been offended to make it right. It's the obligation of the offender. But relationships between people are quite different than the relationship between man and his maker. People are sinners. All people are sinners. Scripture reminds us that apart from Christ, there is none righteous. There's not a single one. And the Almighty is holy. And he cannot tolerate unrighteousness. It's hard. There is this false God that's portrayed to people these days. That he's just the papa. He sits up on a big chair. You know, he understands that we're frail humans. And it's okay. But he's not that way. God is holy. And he expects his people to be holy. He will not tolerate unrighteousness. The thing is, in our own natural selves, our standing is that of a sinful creature. And in that condition, we can't even talk to God. We need a mediator. We can't. People are proud. We think we can do all kinds of things, but we can't. And we say, well, here's a man who was created in perfection, and at some point after that creation, he chose to disobey God. He ruined it for the entirety of mankind. And yet it would take a man to come and make things right with God. It would take a man to bring redemption and restore peace with the Almighty. Thing is, it just couldn't be any man. It couldn't be as like when Israel was choosing a king to see who looked good on a horse. It couldn't be just anybody that we decide to make things right with God. You know, children inherit traits from their parents. They say, he has his mother's eyes. Or they might say, he has his father's hair. Well, I've got my mother's hair color somewhere there. But I definitely have my father's hairline. People inherit things from their parents. But there is one trait that every single child ever born receives from their father. And that's the mark of original sin. They receive from their father a nature that is rooted in idolatry. So the man who would save the people of God could not begin life with this strike against him. And the only possible way to avoid that problem was to have a father who was not human. Yet if the Savior was to be a man, was to be human, a human mother would be required. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. We are so familiar with what has become known as the Christmas story that sometimes we don't think about the individuals who were involved. They were real people. They lived real lives. And this plan that God had ordained from before the foundations of the earth needs to play out in this way with a young girl named Mary, a human being. Mary was probably 14 or 15 years of age. No, not likely much older than that. And she was betrothed to a man named Joseph. That was like as close as you get. That's a step beyond engagement, yet not consummated by marriage. It was an in-between. It was like this relationship will occur. This is a done deal. And you think, this is a young girl. 14, 15 years of age. But, you know, marriages of girls that age, that was not an uncommon thing in this day. You think about it, lifespans weren't that long. People had long passed the time of living 900 or 600 or 500 years. Their lifespans were much shorter. And when we think about this young girl named Mary, we might think that, you know what? She was just living her life. Growing up in her parents' household, doing the things that kids do. Young girls were learning how to be able to care for homes of their own at some point. She learned to clean her house and to cook food and to do all those things that are associated with caring for a home. She had within her an anticipation. I mean, she understood her betrothal to Joseph. She knew that in a matter of time, she would be setting up her own home. So she's living her life. She's making her plans. She's doing the things that, would just come natural to her. When these events begin to unfold, Mary was human. She had, it's important to understand, she had a sin nature. She had a human father and a human mother. There was no immaculate conception. She was conceived in sin, as we all are. And it's really unlikely that in her day-to-day goings on, that she was expecting a visit from an angel. It says, the angel came in and said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Now, come on, girls. An angel stops by the house and gives you this message. What's your response? Yeah, okay. Like, this is like even better than Publishers Clearing House pulling in the driveway, right? This is God sending me a message that says, I'm special. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." That's, encouraging. We see people having encounters with angels other places in the Bible, and even later on in this book. And usually what happens when people encounter angels is they kind of freak out. They get scared. We see people hitting the ground, falling on their face. It's like, don't hurt me, don't hurt me. When the angels appear to the shepherds out in the fields, they thought life was over. They thought, you know, it's the end of the world as we know it. But Mary doesn't get petrified. She doesn't stand back in terror because of this this spiritual being that's standing before her. She's troubled by the message that's being conveyed. Highly favored. Blessed among women. Why? Why me? What did I do? I'm just minding my own business, cleaning my house here. What is it? God, in His grace, would use Mary as the vehicle to give birth to His Son. This was a very special event in history. This is a very special time. But you know, folks, blessed are you. There is a favor found on you who know Jesus Christ. Because God has chosen you for the special things that you do. You have been chosen by God from eternity past to minister to people that you've come in contact with. You have been chosen by God in an eternity past to do the things that you do in your homes. Mary was one individual. Special, no doubt, because Jesus was born through Mary. And yet we can all look at the testimony of the angel and say, you know what, in some way, God favors us. In some way, we are blessed. Well, Mary gets this message, and obviously, for 14 or 15 years old, she had a higher degree of maturity than we see in many 14 or 15-year-olds today. And she's no doubt thinking about this message. She's pondering it. It's what's going through her mind. She was betrothed, but she wasn't yet married. How was she going to explain the change in her physical condition to Joseph? How are you going to do that? You are betrothed to this man, and yet now you're going to have a child some other way? What's Joseph going to think? What's more, what's anybody else going to think? The natural reaction to this situation is going to be that someone would suggest that Mary was in violation of the seventh commandment. And under the law of Moses, if you violated the seventh commandment, you could be put to death. Here's a 14 or 15-year-old girl contemplating that the condition that she's going to find herself in could, in the natural state of things, result in her death. That might play in her mind a little bit. Of course, God did not leave her to deal with it alone. Because the angel was also sent to Joseph. Said, Joseph, here's the situation. Don't you freak out. You got to deal with this, and it'll be fine. And then Mary's thinking, okay, I can get past this part. Never had a child. What would that experience be like? The ladies who've had children, their first time out, it's like, I've never done this before. When this thing changes, when that occurs, is that normal? Is that what's going to go on? And as a matter of fact, I know there are a lot of women who have actually died in childbirth. What if that's my destiny? Here's this young girl. This is reality for her. This is the real world. And yet, God blessed her with great faith. Because her faith remains fully in God. Even in a situation that from a natural point of view would be difficult. Her faith remains in God. And as trying as some of these thoughts might have been, and may have continued to be, her faith falls back. And after explaining her natural condition to the angel's telling her how this is going to happen, she says, okay. Verse 38, she says, behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. She says, all right, I'm happy to do it. I am pleased to serve God in this way. Now Luke gives us the account that also at the same time, Mary's cousin, Elizabeth, is also carrying a child. This too was a unique situation because Elizabeth was up in years. Aged women don't usually conceive. And she's with child. She's carrying the baby who would become John the Baptist. And when Mary goes to pay a visit to Elizabeth, it says, it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. This is the second time Mary is hearing this communication that you are blessed, that you're special. This is a word of encouragement to her. You understand, Elizabeth is pretty excited for her own situation because she'd been barren her whole life. And now God is blessing her with a child before she passes away. So she has a heritage. So he wouldn't last real long either. Yet she was there as an encouragement. She confirms to Mary what the angel Gabriel says. That she would become the mother of our Lord. She says, why is this granted to me? That the mother of my Lord should come to me. Elizabeth is given that knowledge. For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb. The child that Elizabeth is carrying was excited to hear of the coming Lord. Because that child in the womb knew. See, this is one of the reasons why I believe that regeneration can take place prior to birth. I believe that can happen. I don't think that's the norm. But clearly it can happen. She would be the mother of the Lord. Blessed is she who believed. For there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary takes all of this in. This is big news. This is overwhelming news. And she sits back and she meditates and she thinks of what it is that God is doing through her. And she writes a song. Sometimes if you can't say it, sing it, right? That doesn't always work out. I remember watching a film about the life of the old folk singer John Denver, who was kind of a weirdo, but he was successful in his business. And he married this girl, and that's the only way. Whenever he had anything serious to tell her, he couldn't tell her. He had to go write a song. They were having a conversation one day, and he says to her, he says, "Hey, I've got this song. I got to tell you something, but I got this song." And she says, "Shut up. Just tell me. You know? I don't need to hear another song. Just tell me." But sometimes we can express ourselves in song sometimes so much better than just trying to stammer out with a few words. And Mary, sitting back and contemplating what it is that's about to occur in her life, says, beginning in verse 46 of Luke 1, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. My soul magnifies." From the very depth of her being, from the deepest place within us, it's not just a shallow, not just not a face level kind of an acknowledgement. There is something deep and moving happening within the heart of Mary that cries, "My soul magnifies the Lord." And it magnifies, it declares God's greatness. She's not declaring her own greatness. Mary isn't walking around saying, "Hey, I am something special. I am pretty great." Throughout this whole episode, Mary remains humble. And yet she acknowledges, because God puts it in her heart, that all generations will call her blessed. We don't pray to Mary. There is only one mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus Christ. We don't pray to Mary. We don't pray to the saints. They can't do anything for us. We go through Jesus to the Father. And yet Jesus gave honor to Mary. And so that she says and knows that all generations will call her blessed. And she was the one chosen. Again, that was an act of grace. She didn't solicit for the job. God graciously gave Mary the opportunity to birth his son. "He who is mighty has done great things for me." And he's done great things for you. our Lord God in eternity past ordained a people to himself. And to you who have the knowledge and faith of Christ as your Savior, this is a great thing that God has done for you. And like Mary, it's not something that you solicited. You didn't hammer at God's door and say, please save me. God, in his mercy and in his grace, had a sinful bunch of people that he chose to redeem to himself. And if you know him, see, you're pretty special. God's blessed you. Holy is his name. This was a unique but necessary way for Christ to enter this world. He could not have a natural father, but he had to have a natural mother. And he lived a perfect human life for 33 and a half years to redeem you and me. Let's pray.